Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, cause Daryl's dead. Welcome back, everybody. He lives another week. I'm yet again a liar. Joining me as always is Benjamin Orr.
How's it going?
Oh, you know. So nobody died this week, so that's always sort of a step in the right direction. Almost. It got close there.
Yeah, I mean, they did go the distance, which is the name of the episode.
And that was terrible.
I know. But yeah, nobody died. So not yet.
No, not yet. So the episode picks up. They introduce Aaron to the rest of the group after he was dropped on our laps last week. And they sit him down. They tie up his hands. He gets a friendly frisk from Daryl. And he starts talking. And for whatever reason, I mean, I know what the reasons are, obviously. It's cannibals and the governor and all that crap. But, like, you just get the sense that Rick already made up his mind, like, the moment the guy showed up, that he just didn't like him and didn't want him around. And I thought that that was an interesting sort of way to go, because I feel like all they've been looking for is a safe place to go, and it just seemed odd to me. It caught me off guard a little bit. But then Aaron says something really dumb about how the only two sure things are people and safety, and that the more people they have, the safer they are, which drew a dangerous parallel to what Garrus' brother told them when they first got to Terminus, that the more people are a part of them, the stronger they become. And that infuriated Rick, and so Rick knocked Aaron out. And it caused my first laugh out loud moment of the episode. There were a couple in this episode for whatever reason.
Yeah, Rick had a sweet left hook.
Ooh, just knocked him out. Was it left or was it right? It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Either way. Yeah.
Either way, it was a hearty punch. Knocked him clean out. So then so we come back from the commercial break, and Aaron is coming to, and they start asking him more questions about the flare gun. And there's a cool moment where he talks about how it doesn't matter how many people are out there, because Rick isn't going to believe him anyways, which it was 100% true. It really made no difference what number he told him, because Rick wasn't going to buy it. Then he says that they came in a Winnebago and another car. So Rick sends out, you know, he sends out what I consider the all-star crew, except for Daryl. If Daryl was in it, it'd be like the superstar group.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, and so he splits them off into two groups, like Lou was saying. And when you get to the group that has Glenn and Michonne and Maggie and Abraham, I think Abraham
was then, and then what's her face?
Rosita.
Rosita, thank you.
Glenn is picking up off where he left in the episode with Tyrese, in that you can tell that their humanity is starting to waver a little bit. And he says, first person we see, we're going to shoot them. And Michonne brings up the point that, what if they're just like us, you know? Why would we just shoot them on sight? And Glenn doesn't think anything of it. Like, he just thinks, you know, now we're survivalists. We have to shoot what we see as a threat. And that's not necessarily true, because while you have characters like Rick and like Glenn that are kind of slipping away from reality a little bit, not that reality is much of a thing anymore in a zombie apocalypse, but you have people like Michonne who are still being down to earth about things and saying you can't just go out and kill people that you think are a threat. Like, you have to assess the situation. And we see that start to waver a little bit with Glenn, and I think it's a little interesting.
It is. Glenn is sort of nutting up a little bit this year. You know what bothers me, though, is that now all of a sudden Michonne, the voice of reason, and if you know anything about The Walking Dead, or if you've ever listened to our podcast, once you become the voice of reason, you have punched your death ticket. And so that makes me sad for Michonne, because she is turning into the voice of reason. And in The Walking Dead, whenever you are the voice of reason, you are the next one on the chopping block, it seems like. And so that troubles me ever so slightly. But throughout this whole episode, she talks down Glenn. She talks down Rick a couple of times, because Rick is just losing it, man. Rick is Rick is going full governor. Like, he's just losing it.
Rick-tatorship is back.
I mean, and it's almost scary. Like, he was in this episode, he was almost, like, he was borderline unreasonable. Like, he almost wouldn't even listen to his own people, which I thought was odd.
And it was stupid because he almost got some of them killed. Because when he's asking Aaron about, you know, where's your camp, and Aaron's not telling him, but he's telling him a certain route to go on. He says, well, we need to go on Route 16. And Rick's like, no, we'll go on Route 23. And Aaron says, we haven't cleared that yet. And Rick is just so adamant about that, that they go on it, and they have the zombie car wash.
Yeah. And that was fun. That was a fun scene.
Oh, it was. And I just feel like Rick's stubbornness is going to get somebody killed at some point.
Well, now that they're... So the episode ends, spoiler alert, with them at the Alexandria Station. But back to all of this. Aaron even tells Rick, he's like, that is a terrible idea. And he even says, I think, you're going to get your people killed. And Rick's just like, I don't think I like what you're saying. So we'll go my way. And then, yeah, they run into a herd. Essentially, it was a herd. I mean, it was a lot of them. And Glenn, I love that Glenn is just like, he doesn't slow down. He just keeps going. He's just running them over. And then everybody else is in the RV.
What I don't get was, why was Aaron hesitant on telling them where his camp was? Because he already thinks that they're good people.
I think it's because Rick was threatening to put a knife in the back of his head.
Well, Aaron understood why. He wasn't gonna, you know, shy away from that. He knew why they were the way they were, how feral they are and how unused to other people that they are, aren't threatening to them. Every person since the prison has been threatening them. The governor, Terminus, the hospital, they've all had threats, so they haven't had actual human interaction that's genuine and doesn't want to kill them. And Aaron knows this. So I don't know why. I guess he's a little hesitant because of he doesn't know what they'll do to his people.
Right.
But he's willing enough to sacrifice his life, not that he died, but put his life on the line to rescue them. So I kind of didn't get that.
Yeah.
But
I do to a point. I do because, again, it's that thing of he trusts them enough to share with them that he has a place to go and he's trying to save them. But he also doesn't trust them enough to just say, oh, here's our place. Why don't you come whenever you feel like it? So that I also understand. So that one goes both ways. I had other issues with this episode that were not that. One of those issues we need to address because the issue that I had wasn't so much with what happened in the episode, but the reaction that came afterwards. So in this episode, they're in the car and they're smashing zombies, and all of a sudden you see a flare go off in the distance, and Aaron starts freaking out, like just flipping his shit. And so they get out, they start running. We'll come back to the flare gun to the face because it was awesome, but what ends up happening is Glenn almost dies. He almost gets bit by a zombie, but then he doesn't die. And then they end up – oh, here's something that – no, because this is my hate from this week, so I'll save it. So they end up meeting up with everybody who is in the RV behind them, and there's this other member of the Alexandria Safe Zone named Eric. And what we find out is that Aaron and Eric are boyfriends, and they have the first gay kiss in the history of AMC, I imagine. And I think that they did it beautifully. The scenes with those two was, in my opinion, some of the best dialogue the show's ever had. It was simple. It was sweet. It literally built their characters and gave them so much depth in a span of 50 seconds. It was great. Great writing on that in that moment. But the problem that I have is the backlash that came after that through Twitter, through Facebook, through all of these things with just the homophobia in this country still is just despicable and deplorable. It's embarrassing. Like, sometimes I'm embarrassed of our own country and society. Like, really? Grow up. Just fucking get over it, man. Big deal.
Did they not realize that Tara is a character?
For God's sakes, you watched a man rip somebody's throat out and you got no beef with that. But two dudes having a nice little kiss because they thought that one of the other, you know, they thought that each other were dead. Like, what? So what? So fucking what? Grow up.
Yeah, like, just in this show, if they're going to go on that route, then you've had premarital sex in this show, you have a lesbian in this show, and you have gratuitous amounts of violence in this show.
We watched Santa Claus get beheaded, for fuck's sake. Like, just grow up. There are going to be gay people. Gay people are going to survive the apocalypse. They're very industrious. If you leave a gay man in a craft shop, he will build you the Taj Mahal. That is a fact. So just get over it. I was very disturbed by some of the things that I saw on Twitter the next morning. Like, God, fuck that. Just grow up. Deal with it. If anything, it was nice to see a little romance on the show. I don't care that it's two dudes. It was nice to see people love each other like that again. Because even though Glenn and Maggie are that, we don't see that anymore. Like, that was season 2 and 3, and now it's over, and we haven't had it ever since. So, grow up, move on, deal with it. I happen to think that it was, like, it was my favorite scene from this week, was the scene with those two. Because, again, I got such an incredible feel for Eric in such a tiny amount of time. Just this short little peanut amount of time, and I was like, oh, I like this guy quite a bit. So, huzzah. Well, Ben, I skipped over. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to go on with my something I like, something I hate.
And that's what I was going to do, because I skipped a bunch of stuff, but specifically for this segment. So go ahead, Ben. So the order is something you loved, something you hated, and something that you just liked.
Something I loved, I think, is the same thing that Lou loves as well.
Mm-hmm. So we'll just knock it out together.
And that is when Glenn, Aaron, Rick, and Michonne are going through the forest after the car is pretty much all to hell. And they shoot the flare gun into the one walker's head, and it's just lighting up his head.
That was really fucking fun.
It was awesome.
And it was cool, too, because it was an amazing tactic, because then as it fell down and you saw the fire eating away at at the inside of its skull, it, like, lit up the rest of the walker so that they could shoot them and essentially escape. But, you know, I read sometimes that people are like, oh, the walkers aren't even a threat anymore, and I'm like, well, that's fine. At least since they're not a threat, as you say, I still think they are. But since people don't think that, at least they're finding cool ways to kill them still. Like the flare gun. Yeah. The flare gun to the eye socket is classic walker kill.
Because it lights up his entire head, yeah. And he's like, damn, that is cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Something I hated, actually, was Rick in this episode. Mm. I mean, I understand that you have to be defensive with, you know, and understandably so, with Woodbury, with Terminus, with the hospital, with the prison even. I understand you have to be on your guard. You have to be defensive. But I felt like it was a little forced after a while. It got a little old. Yeah, I understand originally, you know, he doesn't trust Aaron. I wouldn't trust somebody randomly either. But I feel like the anger and all that, I just felt like it got really repetitive with him. And that's not something we've really seen before in this show, or really from Rick in general. I mean, Andrew Lincoln did a fantastic job, don't get me wrong. I think the acting was great. I just thought it got a little repetitive, though, after
sure.
a while.
Sure. I think I agree with you there. I think it was a very, for him especially, it was a very one-note performance, or a one-note episode. Like, he was just angry the whole episode, which is very unbecoming. We'll probably have another episode or two like that, and then it'll get better the longer they're in Alexandria. The moment that I hated was apparently Daryl and Rick have this whistle that they do to notify the other one where the other one is. This whistle that I've never seen before or heard before on the show, and all of a sudden they're looking for each other. All of a sudden you see Daryl pop out of a door and, like, make a bird call. And then Rick makes the bird call back, and then they find each other. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I've never even heard them do that before. And I was confused. I was so confused at that part. I was like, why is Daryl just whistling at someone he sees from a distance? That's really stupid. And then Rick whistled back, and I went, what the fuck is this shit? When did they establish this whistling communication that they have? I hated that. That drove me nuts.
Yeah, that, like, now that you mention it, was kind of like, what? When did they do this? When did this become a thing?
Yeah, if they had established it before, I'm on board. I'm like, okay, cool. They're doing the whistling thing. I had never seen that before. And all of a sudden they're like, and then Rick was like, and I was like, what the fuck is happening here? That was dumb. I hated it. Ben, something that you just liked.
Something I liked was when they got into the RV and they're driving to Alexandria, and Rosita's like, we're going to make it. And fucking Abraham looks down at the dashboard and it says, like, the battery was low or whatever. And he's like, yeah, we're going to make it. And, you know, you genuinely think, okay, awesome, we're going to get there. Very next scene, they're outside of the RV because it fucking died. Mm-hmm. And Glenn finds a thing, which was a, you know, a tip to Dale, which I really liked.
It's funny because that is the thing that I liked, was the nod to Dale, was them going and finding out the battery was dead. And then Glenn just looking at Abraham and going, nah, there's a second battery over here. And then when Abraham goes, where did you learn that? And Glenn just looks at him and smiles and then takes the battery off. And I was like, that's really nice. Like, that was a nice little, you know, that was a nice moment to have. But again, they keep making me nervous because Glenn is getting this focus now and he's having all these nice moments, it seems like, each episode. I'm like, God, they're going to fucking kill you too soon. I'm so nervous for them. Speaking of bad news for them, good news for us, bad news for the cast, because I can't imagine that them extending the season finale this year to 90 minutes is good news for the cast of The Walking Dead. Good news for us because we get more, but that can't be good news for them. I imagine that the only reason to do that is because of something huge happening. So now I'm curious and a little nervous, Ben.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I know that Greg Nicotero is directing that one. He's also directing the one for this week called Remember. He's also going to do the season finale. So with him directing it, with it being 90 minutes, some shit is going to go down in that episode.
Yeah.
And I think we can both agree, maybe, that somebody's dying.
Yeah, I had a little brainstorm that melded comics with TV show in Noah's only scene from this week. When when they're in the RV and he goes back to offer Advil to Aaron for Eric, and Aaron tells him that there is a surgeon at Alexander's Safe Zone named Pete. Now, in the comics, Pete is a wife and child beater who Rick calls out on his spousal and child abuse, and they remove him from his home with his wife and child. And in a fit of rage, Pete tries to kill Rick, but instead kills the wife of the leader of the Alexandria Safe Zone. And then Pete is put to death by Rick. I had this thought that if things start going south, that if Pete, like, agrees to surgically repair Noah's ankle, that Pete will do a shitty job and Noah will die having surgery on his leg.
You know, that is a good point, but if they're going to extend it, I feel it's going to be somebody bigger than Noah.
Oh, no, I'm not talking even about, like, the season finale. I'm talking about just, like I think that's how Noah's going to die. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't explain that very well. I just had this thought that maybe that's how they're going to do away with Noah, is that – because that would make sense when you think about how they kill people off. Like, the thing that sort of held him back all this time was essentially his undoing in the end, because that seems to be sort of – the nature of their choices for death. No, the finale, we're gonna lose a few people, I imagine. I don't think it'll just be one person. I think we'll lose a handful. Maybe Tara. Maybe Rosita. Maybe some of the new people that we meet at Alexandria. You know, it's hard to know. I do think that the 90 minutes also means that Morgan is definitely going to get back into the fray in the finale.
Oh, he'd have to.
Yeah, I think that that's really the only thing that I feel 100% confident about, is that by making the finale 90 minutes, that means that Morgan is definitely coming back in that episode. So that'll be nice, because then going into next year, even if we lose people, now we can watch fucking Lenny James tear that shit up some more, because that dude kicks ass.
You know, it's interesting, because looking at them being in Alexandria now and them getting there and Rick hearing the children laughing, and he realizes that there's not just silent there, it's not just quiet, because that's the thing he brought up before about Woodbury, was Woodbury was quiet, but he actually hears children playing and he hears laughter, and that's when he decides on the spot, this is a good place to be. So I'm very interested to see what happens between now and the season finale that goes to hell and causes things to get really bad. I am so intrigued to see what happens with that.
Here's the thing, is that I don't know if it's even necessarily, like, I think it will all be bad shit that happens within Alexandria, which I think is going to be even more fascinating. Like, it's going to be, whereas in the past it's always been getting flushed from their place. Now I think it's going to be different because now it's about defending their place. So it'll be like the prison, but now they have more people. And so, yeah, it should be interesting. We're going to meet a lot of new characters in the next few weeks too. Lots of new people. So that's kind of exciting too. I have a bad feeling about Daryl, too, because I feel like he's going to be very out of place. And like, because, you know, before the zombie apocalypse, he was out of place. And now he's going into a place where, you know, it's like it was before the apocalypse. And I think he's going to have a hard time with Alexandria.
I think they all will in their own regards. Yeah. Some more so than others, Daryl being one of those. And then there will be some that will take it easier. Like, I think Michonne will adapt easier. Mm-hmm. Sasha, I think, will finally be able to adapt and still be able to cope with the loss of Tyrese and Bob. But Rick and Glenn and Daryl, I think they're going to have a harder time adjusting. Yeah. Rick might have an easier time with Carl and with Carl and Judith.
Yeah.
And Glenn might have an easier time with Maggie.
Sure.
But Daryl doesn't really have anybody but Carol. And Carol, I guess, is sort of his voice of reason. But even then, it's like he's also kind of his own being. He doesn't really have anybody that talks him down. Carol might be the only one, but, you know, I feel like with how far they've gotten and all the things they have done in this season, it's just like, you know, they got out of Terminus, they killed the people from Terminus, they got to the hospital, they killed Dawn, but lost Beth in the process, and now they're going here after being split up how many times, and it's just, it's all going to come full circle to them in Alexandria, because they're going to realize for the first time in, what is it, like a year and a half, almost 2 years, since like the show started, like in their time, that they're finally for once going to not have to worry about surviving in the wild.
Yeah, but now it's
about... I mean, really now, ever since the prison.
Yeah, now it'll be interesting because now it's just like the prison struggle was, which was now it's about keeping what you have, keeping other people away, and that's really what it'll be now. They'll try... It's about keeping what you have safe, and as we know, Rick is pretty good at that. Pretty good. So yeah, good episode. I would say of the back of season 5, probably, at least in my opinion, it was my least favorite so far. Still a good episode. It was a necessary episode, as I like to call it. It was one where we needed the information that this episode provided, but it wasn't particularly like amazing or like I thought the last two episodes were just great. And this was just fine.
But in the next one, at least in the previews, we see Carl walking cautiously with a knife into rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So
which I
that obviously.
No, I think that's just a nice example of paranoia. I think they're trying to throw us off. There's not going to be anything up.
Oh yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's still them adjusting to Alexandria. Right. That's still them trying to get used to things, and every little thing that moves isn't necessarily a threat. So they're still trying to adapt to life without having to kill things automatically. But it should be good regardless. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, me too. Because, well, but unfortunately, Ben, this week already marks we're halfway done. And, man, I hate that point in time. But we're almost halfway there. So be sure to watch The Walking Dead on AMC on Sunday nights. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can also find us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. Let's see here. Am I forgetting anything, Ben?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, remember, don't eat the applesauce.